Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Also, check out the Locked On Wolves fan reg website for Adam King articles that will be posted there. You can also check out prior podcasts on on that website. Sorry for the frog in my throat a little bit there. I went to a Twins game with some friends and family the other night, and a few of them were sick, and I think in the short time, over the few hours that I spent with them in the morning, I woke up and my throat was already a little groggy. So I apologize for the grogginess in my voice, but we're going to plug through it anyways. So today is a special day. It's Wednesday Prospects, the segment where I check out a prospect that the Timberwolves could realistically draft at their spot 20th in the first round. And I've selected a few players that I like for the Timberwolves, a few that I think would be impact players for the Timberwolves. And we have gone over Mathieu, gone over Troy Brown. Now today, we have a shooting guard today. Before we get to that, just wanted to quickly hit on some news, though. I know it's Prospect Wednesday, but just want to hit on some quick news. The Rockets tying up the series at 2-2 with their 95-92 victory over the Warriors on the road in Oakland, able to snatch the victory and kind of even out their home court advantage again by grabbing a road victory. And I would just like to point out, they did exactly what I said they needed to do in this game, and they slowed down the Warriors, averaged a pace that was well over 100 throughout the regular season, and the pace of this game was at 94.452. So the Rockets did a good job of slowing everything down, keeping everything pretty much in the half court, especially on the offensive side, making sure everything for their offense was in the half court, bogging lots of stuff down. So, not to pat myself on the back, but if you were listening to the podcast yesterday, then you may have saw this coming, if you believe me even a little bit. So that series is at 2-2. We'll be talking about that later on. We'll be talking about that. We'll probably talk about that a lot tomorrow, that series. But right now, we're going to dive in to a prospect. And today's prospect is Lonnie Walker, the freshman out of the Miami Hurricanes, who averaged 11.5 points per game, 2.6 rebounds, and 1.9 assists per game. So this is a pretty hyped freshman. Ever since the early parts of the season, he was suspected he might be in the lottery pick range even. There's a lot of drafts that have him somewhere in the 12 or 10 to 15 range. But after the combine, there have been plenty of drafts I've seen, plenty of stuff I've been reading that have him also kind of in that 18 to 25 range. Really, with the depth at shooting guard, it just depends on how a lot of teams, what a lot of teams feel about certain positions and certain players. And with such depth at the shooting guard, there's a lot of a preference that could come into play in the draft and how teams think that certain players will fit in. I really like Lonnie Walker a lot. Again, he's not my favorite prospect for the Timberwolves. That guy will be coming much later in a couple weeks. I'm still saving him, still holding on to him. But Lonnie Walker is my favorite. Is a really good prospect, and I really like him a lot. I've been kind of watching a bunch of film. I didn't watch tons of Miami Hurricane football, basketball over the course of the season, but I've been catching up, watching film on him, watching a bunch of tapes, reading up on him over the last couple days. And so here's my analysis of Lonnie Walker. We're going to go offensive side first. So Lonnie Walker averaged 34% shooting from the three-point range, and he took about 5.1 three-pointers per game. I really like this, especially if you're looking at it through the prism of the Timberwolves draft picks. I really like adding a three-point shooter who's not only a pretty solid three-point shooter, but he's also going to take quite a few of them a game. If you put him on the Timberwolves right now, I'm pretty sure, I don't have the stat in front of me right now, I'm pretty sure though he would be the one, he would already average the most three-point shooting per game for the Timberwolves at 5.1. So right there, I think that helps change the offense a lot. And if you can get him to come off the bench and play for, 12 minutes, 18 minutes, and he can take that many threes, that would be huge for the Timberwolves. The other thing I like about his offense is he can do a couple of things. He can get to the basket. He can drive to the basket. But he can also play really well off the catch and shoot, and that's really where he comes in. I think he would be a huge asset for the Timberwolves off the catch and shoot, especially from outside. He has no problem sitting on the perimeter waiting for a shot or moving around and playing off the movement of his point guard off other players to kind of find that open space and get the shot off. And he doesn't even have to have that much space to find an open shot. What he needs is to get the ball in his hands from outside, and then he can excuse me, he can find a shot, find his rhythm. And I like that for the Timberwolves. I really like the idea of somebody who can come off the bench and pop about five threes. And I'm looking at it right now, I found the stat. Wiggins throughout the regular season, 4.1 three-pointers attempted, that led the team. So right away, he would average one more shot from three per game on the Timberwolves if he joined right now from his Hurricane stats. Crazy, just crazy, especially in today's NBA. But anyways, back to my point about Lonnie Walker. I really like that he could come off the bench and electrify the offense to that degree. I think that his ability to shoot and to play catch and shoot basketball, but to also drive to the basket, he's a really quick guy, really good at just stopping on doing the stop on the dime and taking the shot from mid range. Really good change of direction guy, and he can get to the basket. He can slash through a bunch of traffic, get to the basket. He did have a little trouble finishing at the rim at times for games, but when he is getting the ball through the net, it's really tough to stop him. When he starts making shots, it's really tough to stop him. Shot 41% from the field, averaged just 9.9 shots, so just about 10 shots per game. And he also shot 78% from the free throw line. I like all of these parts of his offense. The one downside to his offense, he is not a playmaker or distributor. Average 1.9 assists per game. He doesn't really have great court vision as far as playmaking. I think that he has much better court vision for himself than any of his teammates. You see him making moves and finding space to take shots. That's great, and that's part of having a solid court vision. And so I'm not going to say that he can't really see the court well, because that's just simply not true. But the problem is that when he's got the basketball in his hands, there are lots of times where he is taking a poor shot when he's got teammates open, when the defense collapses on him a little bit. He needs to improve how he sees the court via his teammates. If he could add a passing element to this game and even average like 3.5-4 assists per game, that would make him twice the offensive player, because he would help the offense so much move around him, because he is such a good shooter where the offense can move around him and he will pull defenders off of other players. And so if he can just add that second element to his game where he can now find that open man, where he can now keep the offense moving, facilitate a little bit, that would be huge for his game. And I think that's something that he can learn from guys like a Jeff Teague, like a Jimmy Butler. Those guys are going to help teach him to find open players and to help facilitate in the offense and work with other players, not just play isolation basketball. And so I think that while that is a kind of a big flaw, that the facilitation hamper, I think that his shooting and his playmaking ability and just how quick and fast of an athlete he is and what kind of shots he can create will more than compensate for that. I'm going to get to the defensive side of Lonnie Walker. But first, we're going to take a quick break for some sponsors. Talking about the freshman from the Miami Hurricanes, Lonnie Walker. Lonnie Walker the fourth, if you want to get super technical. He is the shooting guard out of Miami, weighing in at about 6'4", 192. And I really like, I was just going over his offense, really like his offense, really like the three-point shooting, especially for the Timberwolves, a team that really struggled from three-point range and came in last in basically every three-point category through the regular season in the NBA. A three-point shooter off the bench, a young guy who he can mold and develop, I think would be huge for them. I think that he would offer a lot of versatility in the offense. I think that he would help expand the offense for the Timberwolves. And you got to remember too, the Timberwolves losing their second highest 3-point shooter in Jamal Crawford. He averaged 3.9 3-point shots per game. And so Andrew Wiggins at number one with 3-point attempts. Their second 3-point attempt man is not going to be on the roster next season. They got to get that shooting from somewhere. They've got to spread the floor somehow. And I think Lonnie Walker could be that guy for the Timberwolves. That is with the caveat that he drops. Some people think that he could go a lot higher. Some people think that he could go in the lottery. Some people think I've seen plenty of mock drafts where he's going in that kind of 15 to 17 range. It's really hard to place where Lonnie Walker is going to go. I've seen him really everywhere. You can kind of tell trends for certain players, trends for certain spots. You can definitely tell a guy that we've talked about before, Troy Brown. You can definitely tell he was in that 20 to 26 range, where that's kind of where everybody had him cemented as going. Lonnie Walker, the range is a lot bigger. It's not 6 or 8 picks. It's more like 10 or 12 picks, pick range. So it might be a little bit of a, he dipped a little bit in the draft, and that's how the Timberwolves picked him up. Either way, if they can grab him, he'd be a phenomenal pick. Moving on to the defensive side of what he does, he's a really good man-up defender when he's on the ball. He's really solid. He can play really tight. Talking about his speed and his length, that really helps him when he is playing defense. So when he is on the ball, he is uptight against the defender, and he is not going to give you too much breathing room. And you see that in some of the stats he had throughout the regular season, 0.9 steals, 0.5 blocks. He can stay around the basketball, make stuff trouble for the offensive players. The problem is he gets a little lost on defense when he's off ball, when he's supposed to be guarding that guy who's in the corner. Sometimes there's plenty of times where he's peeking in, and then the guy he's supposed to be on cuts to the basket, and he gives them the wide open cut because he was kind of checking or looking into the other players, looking into where the ball was, and not paying attention to his man. Got a little lost on defense throughout the season. And so that could be a problem. But again, Jimmy Butler, I think, will be huge here, where he's going to really help Lonnie Walker as a defensive player. I know that you saw him develop Andrew Wiggins a little more over the course of the season on defense. You saw him help Karl-Anthony Towns. Taj Gibson helped Karl-Anthony Towns as well on defense. And while there might have seemed like there was frustration in the locker room, and like it was almost a frustration for Butler about these young guys, I think that if you add Lonnie Walker, what he does for the offense, I think would compensate for some defensive mistakes and give guys like Jimmy Butler some patience around a freshman or a former freshman shooting guard from Miami. I think that would give them patience because they see his ceiling, they see what he's doing on the offensive side, and that he's a contributor, and that you need to get him more minutes, because I really believe that he'll be one of those rookies that needs to get more minutes off the bench. Really, really early on, it's going to be apparent that he needs more minutes and more time. Now, one of the things, when I first looked at him, one of the things that was concerning, before I did a ton of reading and a ton of watching tape and watching clips, one of the things that I saw that might be a concern for people, the low points, even though he is such a good shooter, averaging 11.5 points, might be a little bit of a buzz for a warner for some people, and his start to the season after he had the meniscus injury, where he had only four double-digit games in the first couple months of action. Again, four double-digit games. I had to count again just to double-check. I didn't want to give a false stat, but in the first couple months of action through November and December, only four double-digit games. Started off slow. Looked like he was a little tentative, especially in November, off that injury. Again, in the meniscus that he had over the summer, the meniscus injury. He was still ready and still available for the opener, but a little tentative. You saw early on in the season too, he was banged up a little bit. He had an ankle against Florida A&M that hampered him a little bit. He had a knee injury a little bit that looked like it might be something against Florida State. It was that he left and didn't come back in the second half, and there could be concerns around that. But then you saw him finish the second half of the season so strong. He had 25, 23, 19, 19 point games all in the second half of the season. And you saw him get back to kind of what you expected him going, joining the Miami Hurricanes, what you expected him when you saw that shot and when you saw the kind of shooting that he offered the Miami Hurricanes team. And he only had five single-digit games after the first 2 months of the season. And then he had 12 points in the tournament game against Loyola Chicago. So a lot better, really strong second half of the season for Lonnie Walker, and you really saw his three-point shooting come into full form, and a lot better performances, a lot of bigger impact on games. Again, only five single-digit games to finish out the season for the last couple months of the season, as opposed to the four double-digit games they start out in the first 2 months of the season. So I think that some of those injuries may have played a bigger role than the coaches or he would let on. Whatever problems you have with his beliefs that you saw at the NFL or NBA combine about how the earth is an illusion, that is a whole different subject that I'm not going to let bother me. And even Kyrie Irving has some crazy notions about how the earth is run and how the earth looks. So I wouldn't let that stuff bother me. I know that there's going to be some storylines and stuff like that could add some skepticism to a prospect for some reason. There's always this period leading up to the draft where there's some prospects that are really good and really solid prospects, and there's weird stories that kind of deflate people around them. And so I wouldn't want you to think that way. Just go check out some tape of Lonnie Walker. Go check out some tape that he's had. Go check out the Boston University game that he played. Go check out his game out in the OT game against Louisville. Go check out his game against Notre Dame, a 19-point game where he shot 71% from the three-point line. Those are the games you got to go check out to get excited for Lonnie Walker. And I think even with a surplus of shooting guards in this draft, I think he is one of the shooting guards that would really fit well on the Timberwolves, even though I know they need a guy like a power forward type position is where they're really needing a couple more young players. But I think when you're in the first round, it's about picking the best available talent, not necessarily tailoring your pick to a certain position. And Lonnie Walker would definitely be one of those guys that fits into this is one of the best available guys left at number 20. And so I would definitely be excited if the Timberwolves picked up Lonnie Walker. I think that he would be a great piece. I think that there's only a couple things that he could really work on. And that is a lot of things. There are development things that need to happen. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter, but I think that the three-point shooting that he would inject into the Timberwolves would be a huge boost for this team. And I think that a lot of the mistakes that he will make will be covered up by his speed and his length. So that's Lonnie Walker. That's why you should be excited about him and excited about what he offers as a prospect and one of the guys you got to look out for come draft day. And that's it. That's it for us here at the podcast. That's it for me. We'll have more NBA playoff content over the next couple of days. We'll have a couple guests talking about the Warriors Rockets series, a couple guests talking about the Cavaliers and the Celtics. But as of right now, that's it for the Wednesday podcast. Thank you so much to the listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.